From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. We posted a thread a few minutes ago for some Q&A. Maybe we'll get some of that. Maybe we'll find some topics. It is absolutely the dead of summer, and we're not talking about temperatures right now, as not a lot going on. Still a few weeks away from fall camp. Still a few weeks away from professional sports getting into a situation where they matter on a day-to-day basis. Neil survived a scare with Chris Bryant yesterday. We've hit the doldrums, if you will, for a few days. We'll find something to talk about today as we get forward with today's podcast.
I will take this opportunity. I did it on Twitter. I would like to thank the baseball gods for their mercy yesterday. Okay. Thank you, baseball gods. May I be pleasant in your sight, baseball gods.
It looked bad.
Oh, it looked broken. Season ending.
Yeah. You don't need that finger.
I thought, looking at the replay, he had broken two fingers.
The ring and the pinky.
Yeah. And I thought for sure he dislocated them. I thought we were looking at a minimum of 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's that.
Instead, just a sprain, right?
He apparently is made of rubber.
It's a lot like Adrian Peterson's knee. Everything's not the same.
Yeah. We're not all created equally. I mean, people have different gifts and stuff. I get it. You can take an average kid and put him on three elite baseball teams with the best coaching known to man, and you're not going to create Chris Bryant. It's why I laugh at Mom and Dad out there trying to develop their little major leaguer. Nah. He's either got physical gifts or he doesn't.
Yeah, you can make a kid good for his level until he's about 11.
Yes.
10 or 11. And then hand-eye comes in more than anything else.
I think you could even develop an average high school player an above-average high school player.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that's about as far as you can go. I think so much of it is the way you're put together, your genetics, your just...
It's hand-eye coordination.
Hand-eye.
That's it.
Stuff that really is not teachable.
Baseball specifically is hand-eye coordination and vision.
Yes.
Give me those two things above everything else.
Right. But even in football... A kid, you could take an average football player at the high school level, and if he worked really, really hard, had high-level training and excellent coaching, I think he could go from being an average high school player to a very good high school player. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could make him an elite prospect. I don't. It's my opinion. I'm sure people will disagree. And they'll give me examples of some kid who's just worked his butt off to get, yep, and you'll go to college as an overachiever. How many, it just doesn't, when I was on the Auburn beat, there was a guy named Alex Lincoln. Remember him?
Yeah.
Alex was a linebacker from Mobile as a walk-on. I think started his career at like Huntington or someplace, some little school, and decided.
Is that Huntsville, Montgomery?
It was in Montgomery.
Yeah. Okay.
And decided he wanted to be a D1 player. So he walks on at Auburn, and he ends up being a starting middle linebacker. And everyone would say, see? And I would say, no, the fact that we continue to write about the walk-on thing in every story shows you just how rare it is.
Yeah, a lot of times what you see when kids really blow up into major prospects after not being whatever, to me it's them either, A, it was just poor scouting because of their high school, something along those lines where it just wasn't known, or B, they shed or worked to achieve it. Like, okay, Bradley Sowell, He lost 65 pounds.
Right.
Well, he uncovered what ended up being incredible left tackle ability, was playing in the NFL. You know what I mean? But had he not gotten the personal trainer and lost the weight, he would have just been kind of a big, pretty good high school football player that probably flames out early in college because he can't get in the shape necessary to play in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah. But Brad had a lot of fast twitch.
Yeah. And really good feet.
And great feet.
Yeah. That's what he had.
He had great. He had elite feet.
Yeah.
And when he was heavy, those were covered a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
And when he got in shape, like, oh, look at his feet.
Frankly, the ability of his feet allowed him to still be serviceable at the huge weight.
Yes.
Because most people wouldn't be able to move at all.
It's why his sophomore year, when everybody around Ole Miss, and God, some of you people abused that kid, got mad at him for his comments in Columbia, and he became a pariah of sorts. NFL people told me, dude's going to play in the NFL. He's going to play in the league. I had one NFL scout tell me he's going to play in the league for a long time if he stays healthy. His feet.
Yeah.
He's tall. Can't coach tall. Can't coach feet.
Yeah.
And so, sure enough.
We'll get into a couple things, including some of your questions here as we continue the podcast. Podcast, as always, brought to you by the Oxford Exxon and the Oxford Crystal Highway 6 West in Oxford. Check them out on your way into town or just head over there on a lunch break. You get the hand-spun milkshakes right now, chocolate, strawberry, vanilla, or Oreo. Also, the Kool-Aid slushes. They're made with Sprite. You get green apple. You get grape for those choices. Lunch specials, $4.99. Ribs every single day, wet or dry. Call ahead. They'll be ready to go. You can pick them up on the way home if you need a quick dinner tonight. So do all those things. And when you are in your car, maybe you notice you need a new one, you can check out Clark Ford. We are coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford in Amory. 662-257-1900 is the number. ClarkFordInc.com is the website. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. Send him. Tell him what Ford you're looking for. He'll give you a quote within 15 minutes. Or you can send him an email on the site. Either way, you're going to get your quote, and you can shop it around, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many podcast listeners already, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's easy, no haggling. It's right to the bottom line. It's a great deal, great service after the sale, all of that. And then on top of that, if right before you finalize everything, you tell Corey, say, hey, Corey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Beer Garden, taping one later this morning with Neil Stratton of Inside the League. We're going to talk NFL. Either one of those, $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford, 662-257-1900.
Mentioned this on the message board yesterday. Just continued thoughts and prayers for Justin Reed, former Ole Miss basketball player, All-American, dealing with a quickly spreading cancer that was diagnosed, I guess, a little over a month ago, something like that. He's currently in Jackson, and news hasn't been real good the last few days. And I know there's a GoFundMe up on the board. It's all over Twitter. So if you can donate, do so, as well as I mentioned, just thoughts and prayers there. Pretty tough situation. Rick Cleveland had a really nice column on Justin yesterday. So keep him in your thoughts, like I said, as we continue the day.
I think a wild horse just got loose in the hallways outside the studio.
Yeah, bull in China shop is what came into my head there, and was kind of panting and probably some moisture on the ground from the slop out of his mouth, is my guess.
It is so hot, man. Can you imagine me in that low to the ground wearing a black fur coat? How hot it must be.
Kind of a double coat, too, because I've got the swimmer's coat where it's a little thicker and kind of the protective layer, if you will, for
he'll go find
him.
A tile floor and
is that where he's headed?
Sprawl. Oh yeah,
a little water.
Get a little water and then just sprawl.
That's fair. All right. Again, we really don't have a whole lot. Not much going on.
Some
up
of the questions
head.
Are decent.
All right, where you want to start?
Oh, I'm a big believer that when you ask these questions and you throw it out there, you take it on. I'm not going to discuss my sarcastic new fears. Although I did appreciate some of the photo threads. They were good.
Had to delete a few.
A few got a little out of control.
Yeah.
But I'd rather get photos of that fear than I would of all the damn snakes.
Well, We went complete. We jumped the shark finally with the one from Barstool with him spitting out the carcass.
Yeah, that was too
yesterday.
Much.
I'm done too, now.
I'm done. I've had enough.
As Jeffrey said, who said there's no longer dinosaurs?
Yeah.
There are dinosaurs. We just named them.
Yes. That's what it's just. So Ole Miss Cub, here's this question.
All right.
We've talked about this before. I think it's a good question because it's a good topic. You're not probably going to like our answers because they're not as conspiratorial as you probably want some of them to be. But the question is, why do so many people in the media have a bloodlust for Hugh Freeze? Where does that come from?
It never comes from the same place for everyone, if it exists.
Good point.
It's not like there's a writer's convention where they all get in one room and go, okay, Hugh Freeze, here's the talking point, here's the reason, here's when we do it. I think for some and reasons, the flimsiness or lack of concrete nature to it, that's debatable, whatever.
You're asking us why they have these opinions. And these are not necessarily our opinions.
Yeah, I'm guessing on why they have those opinions. Okay. I think some – it's not just – I think people don't recognize the nuance here. I think people go, oh, well, it's Christian faith. No, it's not Christian faith in totality. Even if that is a factor. Again, we're being hyper.
And I think with some, it is a factor.
But I think it's a factor along the lines of, for whatever reason that I can't explain because I'm not in their head, they see it as hypocritical. It's hypocritical based off Christian beliefs, in my opinion.
Yes.
I don't think there's just attack on Christianity in general.
No, I don't either.
I think it's because of whatever reason they see. Dabo Swinney would be hammered.
He would be attacked.
Yeah.
And he's not.
And Clemson hasn't always been a blue blood, so it's not about, oh, well, if he'd been to Alabama or LSU or Texas or USC.
He is viewed by some in the media. Now, look, there's a lot in the national media who like Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
He is viewed by some in the national media as a fraud, frankly. A guy who cheats and then brags about how he's viewed.
You hit this more with the true believers.
Yeah. Brags about how he does it differently. I can tell you that there are people in his field, colleagues, who resent the living hell out of the stuff about we recruit a different kid, we do it a different way. It is much the same way as Jeff Long's tweet yesterday about the University of Arkansas doesn't cheat. There are people in intercollegiate athletics who see that tweet and literally their blood begins to reach a low boil.
Yeah, I'll find that while you're talking.
That's what people don't like. A lot of people don't like
it. See, I think that plays into each other. Again, we're just speculating on others' beliefs.
Yes.
I think that there are a lot of vocal coaches in the industry. And we've heard this from a lot of media members. This isn't new. This isn't something that's a secret. That they don't have a lot of personal affection for Hugh Freeze. Well, I think that feeds over because I think those coaches talk to media members and they start planting ideas in certain media. You know what I mean? Like, I think it all plays into one big pool. They're all around each other. Everybody's talking. Everybody's got their sources and their communication in this field. So I think it's just a big thing where it's we're off in the deep end and they all pile in and splash on one another, and that's where we get at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that completely.
I think that's part of it. I think that there's a segment that has just taken the kind of basically the information, or not the information, but the reason for the Houston Nutt lawsuit and what they saw as lies last January and made it intensely personal, where it's going to be a continued thing until he is not just out of Ole Miss, but no longer in coaching, or they're out of the profession, and they're going to hold that grudge because of that one day the rest of the time they cover any of his programs, my opinion.
I agree.
I think that's true.
I think there were people who were very angry with Ole Miss's response. And again, I'm going to say this at the risk of pissing people off, that was justifiable anger. Now, does that justify a witch hunt on the part of the media? No. But media are people too. You go into your place of work and parrot a lie someone told you, and that was the word. It wasn't a misleading, it was a lie. Get in trouble for it, get humiliated for it, and tell me that there's no grudge. Not true. You know there would be a grudge.
The Morning Rush, which apparently is a Little Rock radio show.
I've been on it before.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
How are they?
They're fine. It's like a lot of media. Not all media, but a lot of media in Arkansas. There is a great pressure to call the hogs, baby.
All right. They tweeted, how does it make you feel that Arkansas never cheats in recruiting? Sorry.
Jeez.
Give me a minute. They really ought to have Derek Mason on the show. They have a great show. All right. Here's
what's funny ludicrous.
About this.
Why would anybody think that? Are people dumb enough to believe that?
Well, all the responses are about how they beat Ole Miss 3 years in a row and Ole Miss cheats like crazy and Arkansas never cheats.
Jesus.
So, okay. Here's what's funny about this. And Jeff Long, known one of the better ADs in the country.
Where's Alex
great
Collins
reputation.
From?
Huh?
Where's Alex Collins from?
South Florida, if I remember correctly.
That offensive lineman from Florida that Ole Miss recruited.
Denver Kirkland.
Where did he go?
Went to Arkansas.
Ole Miss recruited him, right?
He did.
And according to these people, Ole Miss cheats like mad. Is that right?
Throwing buckets.
So it would stand to reason that they would have thrown buckets of cash at Denver Kirkland in that scenario?
It would stand to reason.
Where'd he go?
Arkansas.
Some with Ole Miss first? Played at Ole Miss, then transferred?
Not aware. So Jeff Long, here's what's funny about this. It wasn't even like, at Jeff Long, what do you think? It appears to be him just seeing it on Twitter
yes.
and deciding to comment.
Holier than thou.
The head of the college football playoff committee at
yes,
one point.
Yes, sir. A true believer if there ever was one.
Probably so. Makes me feel proud. When Hogs win, we do so with honesty and integrity. We may not be perfect, but doing things the right way is who we are. One Jeff Long, athletic director, University of Arkansas.
Puke. I'm so glad I have not eaten breakfast. I'm glad that I'm not a breakfast eater.
Go Warhawks.
Yeah, I got my ULM shirt on today.
Yeah.
Go Hawks. That's awful.
That ULM cheats?
As much as it can.
On their level.
Yeah.
They cheat the same as Arkansas State cheats or Louisiana Lafayette or whomever.
I mean, ULM's problem is the same as a lot of schools' problems.
They don't have the resources to cheat.
Their resources to cheat are very limited.
But the quarterback will get some groceries on a Saturday night.
Sure. I would hope. I don't have a problem with that.
No.
Oh. Listen, there's stuff coming out in the next not so long about Dante Moncrief. We should keep this real about Dante Moncrief.
All right.
Dante Moncrief was a highly recruited player.
Top 100 wide receiver.
Came from a small town in Mississippi.
Raleigh.
But had a family unit.
Yeah.
There's another kid from Raleigh that signed with Ole Miss in that class who came from nothing.
Did not have Dante's resources.
Had nothing.
Yeah.
Had nothing, man. People in his life who – it didn't matter what their college affiliation was. Cared for the kid. There were people in his life that would have to take him someplace and buy him a pair of jeans so that he would have something to wear to school. It wasn't about how it's going to get you to Ole Miss or to State now, right? No, no. This is going to be something you can put on over your underwear to wear in the cold.
Yeah.
We're going to buy you a pair of shoes, not so that you'll go to Ole Miss or to Mississippi State, but so that you can put something on your feet when you walk to school. Literally, to put a piece of fabric on his body.
Yeah.
We're going to go buy you a jacket, not so that you'll go to Ole Miss or Mississippi State for our athletic prowess, but so that you can have something to put on over the same T-shirt that you wear day after day after day. Because that's what he wore. He wore the T-shirts that Raleigh football would give their players to wear under the pads because that's all he had.
Yeah.
It's the part of what the national media doesn't get. A lot of the national media lives in places where they can't begin to relate to Woodrow Hamilton's plight as a young person growing up in Raleigh. And I'm not making fun of Woody, and I'm not making fun of Woody's family.
Oh, hell no.
At all. So before anybody thinks I'm picking or I'm being a racist or any of the other things that happens when you have these conversations, I'm just keeping it real. Dante didn't get anything.
I'm not sure we had a happier day than when Woodrow signed with the dang Patriots.
No, thrilled for him. Thrilled for him.
Yeah.
He's a story, quite frankly, that we don't get to tell much. For those of you who want access cut off.
I mean, he played in games and made tackles for the New England Patriots last year.
Yeah. People that want access cut off. Woody Hamilton's as good a story that's come out of Ole Miss in a decade.
Yeah. Homesick early. Had to get through his own fears.
Miserably homesick.
Yeah.
Think about that a minute. He got Raleigh up here.
To Oxford.
He got up here, three squares, a roof over his head, and was overwhelmed. He was. Totally overwhelmed.
It was big city.
Wanted to go home.
Yeah.
Home was familiar. He stuck it out. And there were people in his life, quite frankly, people with Ole Miss ties. But those people were in his life years earlier. And I can tell you because I know them.
Yeah, I do too.
And this same holds for Dante. Had Dante told those people, I want to go to Oklahoma State,
okay,
they would have thrown a party with black and orange balloons and a big black and orange cake and been thrilled that the kid got out and was getting his college education paid for and was going to get to go play college football at a major level.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. Now, back to Dante. Was Dante a kid that had a bunch of money thrown at him in the recruiting process? No. Did Dante get stuff offered to him in the recruiting process? Yeah. Top 100 players do. Every single one of them. With the possible exception of a Peyton Manning, an Eli Manning, a Chris Sims,
yeah.
Kids like that. And those kids are so few and far between, they might as well be Alex Lincoln on the other side.
Yeah.
What did Dante get at Ole Miss? Honestly, keeping this real. On Sundays after games, when he was at the team meeting and stuff, I suspect that some people put stuff in his fridge. I do. I think people went to Walmart or Kroger and put up some food in his freezer, put some food in his fridge so that he'd have something to eat that week at home. I know they get fed at I get it. They get a meal right after practice.
Yeah, because back then it would have been stipends too. It wouldn't even have been the training table,
yeah,
or whatever.
So
at that point.
With him, it was literally for food.
Because Nutt used the stipends as a recruiting advantage. You get a little extra cash here with the whatever. Yeah.
And some of the people with Woody, it was so that he wouldn't go to Taco Bell with the stipend.
Right. 20, good food.
20-year-old boys playing football eat.
Yeah.
Sometimes a lot.
Yeah.
So if you view people who have known the kid for years with Ole Miss ties filling up his refrigerator with chicken breast and hamburger meat and milk,
fruits and vegetables,
bread and fruits and vegetables, if you view that as a recruiting sin, well then by God, bring the wrath, because Ole Miss is guilty there. And let me tell you something, so is every other program in the country. Thank God.
You fit in well with the NCAA.
Thank God there are people who do that for kids.
Yeah. Move on with the questions in a second. First,
because often, let me say this real quick, because often that's what parents do, like when Campbell goes to college. Before I leave to go, whether it's Ole Miss or she goes to Vanderbilt or she goes to wherever, when I go visit her on a Sunday, before I leave, I'm going to put some food in her fridge.
Yeah.
Well, some of these kids don't have that.
Yeah.
They don't come from families that can do that. And
the basic element of bringing stuff in from home, hey, here's something you forgot, let me bring this up for you. We'll go to lunch, tell me about your week, and then before I leave, I'll run to Kroger, we'll get us some stuff, I'll drop it off, and I'll be on my way.
I'll spend $75, $80 on some stuff, and I'll fill up your fridge a little bit.
Yeah.
And some of these kids, because they play sports, they don't have time for a job. So
it's
they
not
can't,
allowed anyway.
They can't go earn $100 a week on their own.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what you know. Dante got. That's what Dante got. I can. Ole Miss people probably in a panic right now listening to it. Yes, people filled up his fridge. They damn sure did.
Yeah. Community Mortgage located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year. One of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. Now, underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market. That's a big deal. Also, the leading condo financer in the Oxford market. Ask Jason about the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. And if you the rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. So you can contact him at 662-234-2704 or JLO, that's LOWE, at communitymtg.com.
Guest, join us on the Rebel Locker Room hotline. The Rebel Locker Room is on West Jackson Avenue. It's the place to go to get all of your officially licensed Ole Miss gear, all the colors, all the styles. It's there at the Rebel Locker Room. As you get closer to football season, you can gear up at the Rebel Locker Room. Ole Miss football tickets, Ole Miss basketball tickets available at OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. Podcast brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in our state. Go to his site. It's gotland.com. You can check out so much of what he has available. But what you need to know is this. The land market is very hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call today. He's ready to meet with you, explain the process. If he can't earn your business in that meeting, he doesn't deserve it. Call him at 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. There's no 10 buttons to push, no 5-minute wait. They have the absolute best checking account you'll find anywhere. It's called Kisasa. OUB will pay its customers 2.5% on their balances up to $50,000 with Kisasa. Also, ATM fees refunded. There's an online bill pay and mobile check deposit that's available using the online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. Fantastic service after the sale. It's an easy car buying experience. You can take my word for it. I've done it. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
Some move down the list?
Yeah.
All right. Unconfirmed source next. Tons of speculation and guesswork. Yeah. But who are Ole Miss's head coaches? Three major sports in 5 years. So going into the 2022 academic season.
God, that's almost impossible.
It is. I mean, it's a podcast. It's July. We're playing.
All right, let's play this game. Is Hugh Freeze the football coach at Ole Miss in 5 years? Gun to your head, you had to guess. I'll say no.
No.
No. Is Andy Kennedy the men's basketball coach in 5 years? No.
No.
Mike Bianco, 5 years?
I give him the best chance, but no.
I would agree. I would give him the best chance, but I would go less than 50%.
And I would give Hugh a better chance than Andy.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay. I just think, well, I mean, okay, let's take them one at a time.
Okay.
All right, start with football.
Okay.
Is so hard.
The odds of Hugh Freeze being the head coach at Ole Miss in 5 years, in my opinion, are really lean. I'm in more trouble today already than I want to be in. My phone's going to light up. I don't know how you say that. For Hugh Freeze to be the head coach at Ole Miss in 5 years, he's got to very quickly overcome what I think will be severe sanctions.
And keep winning to a level too.
And then he has to win.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, a lot of the people who today love Hugh Freeze aren't going to hang in on another 5-7. And the expectations for this season are already inflated. You would agree with that, right? We read people going 9-3, and you and I go, man, what do they see? 9-3?
Well, it's always
9-3 is an major overachievement given this team, its weaknesses, the distractions that are facing it, and the schedule.
Well, I think you and I both are in that 6-6. If you said we're off by one, okay, 7-5. If we're off by more than that, we think it went bad.
Yeah. If you give me the, if you look, tell me to choose which is more realistic, 9-3 or 3-9. I'm going 3-9 all day, like that. I don't even think about it. Could this team win 6 games and maybe overachieve and get to 7?
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
They're offensively talented. They're going to be really good. They are.
They are.
Going to be
I'm
good.
I'm not convinced they're going to be able to run the football.
I think the line's better, and as you always talk about, I think that helps the back. I think they run it okay.
Yeah. I think they're okay.
Tight end worries me a little.
Worries me a lot.
Yeah. It just doesn't worry me as much because in today's NFL, I mean, in today's college football, it's not a down blocker. You know, it's a little different deal.
Right.
They basically just regress back to the mean there after having Evan for.
There's a lot of potential at receiver.
Yeah. A lot of athletic people.
But make no mistake, those guys are being asked to step up in a big way and replace the production that was given to
Demorier and Evan.
Evan's a first-round pick, guys.
Even Quincy to a point.
Evan was a first-round pick.
Yeah. And defensively, I just got to see it.
I'm skeptical, honestly.
Yeah. All right. So who makes sense? 5 years. 2022.
Oh, man, I don't know.
I mean, you're playing. Nobody's going to hold you to it. Or no way sane will hold you to it.
Charlie Strong.
I don't hate that. I think that makes some sense, actually.
Not Lane Kiffin, but someone like Lane Kiffin, a high-level coordinator today. Here's the thing about the Ole Miss job. It bugs me, so I'm going to get it off my chest.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
This bugs me. I hear this from people. This isn't a criticism of Hugh Freeze at all. Hugh's done a fantastic job at Ole Miss. But you can't have it both ways here. You can't in one breath say, this is a great job, man. It's a great school, great facilities. We pay great. There's lots of money. The Grove, all that stuff. You can't say that. You can't be great and then go, but man, the only guy that can do it is Hugh Freeze. That's it. If we don't have Hugh Freeze, man, we're done. I mean, nobody else can do it. Help me understand how there's no middle. How do you? That's not saying Hugh Freeze isn't a great coach, but if your job is great. And I think if you pay $4.8 million, it's a pretty damn good job.
In this league, too.
It's an SEC job. It's $4.8 million. It's all the other stuff, facilities, all the things that they've done. If you have
all right, just yes or no answers. Is it a top 10 job?
No.
Is it a top 15 job?
Potentially.
Is it a top 20 job?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
It's a top 20 job. It's an SEC West job.
Yeah, so go ahead.
$4.8 million in resources. Yes, it's a great job.
$112 million athletic budget.
If you have a job that good, you can attract a lot of people.
Okay.
So why would you get into that mentality that people have? Well, he's one of us. What does that mean? What the hell does that mean? I mean, that is the stupidest part of this argument. It is so dumb. Alabama did that forever, and it limited it. Alabama finally went, screw it, man. We're gonna hire a good coach. Florida hired Urban Meyer. He was not one of them. Good coaches win.
I mean, the equivalent running timeline here, I'm just kind of playing our game a little.
Okay.
If you told me, okay, what current coach is Hugh Freeze now that will be whatever later? I mean, your little step-up profile thing maybe says Will Hall.
Will Hall, Anil Brown.
Yeah. And again, Will has it. I mean, this is his first step in FBS, so we'll see. But
this is where I could go to a Stephen Godfrey, though, who knows.
He'd rattle some names.
And I could say, give me a guy that 5 years from now is a head coach at a place like Ole Miss kicking ass.
And he'd roll it.
He'd give me 20 names.
Yeah. I can't give you 20 names.
I can't do it. I don't keep up with the sport to that degree. I don't have to.
Yeah. All right. Basketball.
Oh, man.
What's the profile of a successful coach? Give me that, and then we'll figure it out.
Right now, it's a guy that coaches at a mid-major and wins big.
Do you need major AAU ties?
Yes.
Okay.
You have to have major AAU ties. You have to be a guy who has connections with the shoe people.
Okay.
And it's got to be a little bit of an overachiever. It's a hard basketball job.
Okay.
Getting better, but it's a hard basketball job.
And you don't know what that profile is, who that fits, anything like that.
I really don't. But, I mean, again, there are people out there. Either that or you go the Alabama route with a guy like Avery Johnson. A guy with name.
Yeah.
Avery Johnson had AAU ties. Through his son's recruiting and following that, and a guy with an NBA pedigree.
Yeah, he just has such a basketball pedigree that he knew.
I will say this. This Elston Turner rumor that's out there, in my opinion, is a really bad idea. A 60-year-old guy who has not coached at the college level and probably does not have AAU ties, I think would be one hell of a risk.
Okay.
And then in baseball, look, it's a great job. You got it, but it's got to be somebody with again, it's got to be somebody with strong ties in whatever the AAU equivalent in baseball is, perfect game or whatnot.
Just travel ball, I mean.
And then it's got to be. It's got to be somebody with some thick skin.
It has to be some. See, that's what's interesting about it to me. If I'm the AD at Ole Miss, and whether it's in a year or 5 years or whenever Mike Bianco's done with whatever he does to finish his career, I look at it and I want someone who's dealt with limitations in whatever degree that means. Like, it's why when I keep getting asked, hey, who makes sense? Well, Mike Bianco walks into Ross Bjork's office tomorrow and goes, I'm done, I'm out. I call Chris Lemonis. Coached at Louisville with Dan. He's been the head coach in Indiana where they don't get tons of resources. He's done some of that.
Yeah.
Now, the flip side of that, he's never had to deal with a fan base. Never had to deal with pressure from inside like here. So how does he do that? I don't know. I'd have to call Dan and be like, hey, give me some straight here. You've been here. What do you think?
Yeah.
You know, let's see that. But I think that's a guy that makes a lot of sense.
And I'm going to say this. Let me finish the sentence.
Yeah.
One of the first calls I'd make would be to Dan. And it wouldn't be to offer the job.
No. Who you like?
Who would you hire if you were me? Now, if he says, I'd hire me. Okay, well, let's get this done. But if he says, here's who I'd look at. I'd look at these five guys.
Yeah. I go look at those five guys.
I go look at those five guys hard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the big thing with an AD, especially in a non-revenue sport like that. Call people who do know and never think you have that answer.
No, I'd let them answer.
Yeah. You call Ray Tanner, you call Dan McDonald, you call people that go, okay, what do we got here?
And so in men's basketball.
You know my program.
Yeah.
What do you think?
In men's basketball, I probably, like one of the calls I would make would be to Mike White. It wouldn't be to offer the job to Mike because I think he'd laugh at me. It would be, who are some guys you like? I'd call some people that had achieved at programs like Ole Miss. Who do you like? Who are some people that turn your heads in the recruiting process? It wouldn't be, hey, Coach Pitino. Unless I was really confident that I was about to step up and change really the footprint of my program.
Axonian Reb asking about timeline the rest of the way with NCAA. Look, there's some rumors the COI is happening the week after the Cal game. Or whenever the bye week is it then?
Yeah, it's the week after Cal, week before Alabama. And right now that is simply a little bit of a slightly educated rumor.
It was logical based on schedule is all that was.
And some people nationally are saying it. Let me say this. No one at Ole Miss has hinted at a date.
Either way, the NCAA's got to respond in the next few days. Then they're going to schedule a hearing as quickly as possible, whatever that means. And
as
I expect
early
it.
As August. I'm sure Ole Miss would love to do it in August.
Yeah. August, early September, somewhere in there.
And then it's 8 weeks.
Yeah. So we're still in that mid-October to November range-ish.
Yeah. The people who say they don't want it done until sometime next year, they want the spring semester to start. I've not heard that from one soul at Ole Miss, ever.
Don't buy that.
Guys, if people are going to transfer, moving it into the spring semester isn't going to change their desire to transfer. And the truth is, if you get hit with a multi-year bowl ban and kids want to transfer and get the waiver, you should give them your blessing. You don't fight that. My opinion. If kids feel like they were lied to and misled and they want out, you let them go. Wish them well. You release them to anyone. You don't put limitations on it. You turn the corner as a program. My opinion. You do the right thing.
Question on the board. Do you take your infant, who would be roughly 1 year old, on a flight from Memphis to Hawaii? We would also have another kid that would be just shy of three trying to decide if they want to tackle that beast. She would sit in the seat with us, but that is one long-ass flight.
I wouldn't do it.
Just reading that made me nervous.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
I am overprotective of other people's comfort when my child is around.
Yeah.
To the point of it even like dinners bother me out in places. I get very nervous in these instances. That would drive me nuts.
Yeah. It's as someone who recently had a bad flight experience, no, you don't do that. It's not fair to the other people on the plane. You'd be surprised, Chase, how many people don't care.
Well, but you saw the thing about the JetBlue thing, didn't you? Did you say that? I did.
I sat in front of, frankly, it was a gay couple with an adopted little girl. And she was so loud, and she kicked Carson's chair for 4 hours, man. And they never stopped her. I turned and looked at him like, come on. No inside voice, just let her go. She was the beautiful princess, and by God, everyone is that mentality. I'm not that way. You're not that way. You'd be like, hey, you got to chill. You're gonna have to chill right now.
You'd be mortified.
You'd threaten corporal punishment.
Your kid would jerk you so hard out of that.
You're gonna pay for this if you don't stop. And she'd stop. Mine stopped. But no, a baby, because you can't punish a baby.
Yeah.
You get that baby on a plane. I think your flight's going to be miserable. And by the time you land in Hawaii, your nerves will be so frazzled and fried that I don't know that you'll be able to enjoy your trip.
It's such a shame people have to hand out the little candy bags because a baby's on a flight, because it's, hey, I'm going to do the best I can. Because that's the considerate parent that would stop their kids from banging the seats.
Yeah.
But at the same time, man, you're asking a lot of an infant right there.
Yeah.
I mean, just a ton.
A ton. I think you could do it with a 3 and a 4-year-old because you'd be able to negotiate. But a 1-year-old, nah, boy, it's tough.
Negotiate?
Yeah.
A lot of,
well, I mean,
hey, you do this, we'll do it.
If you're good for this hour, here's a toy. Now you got another hour, and at the end of that hour, I've got something for you. I'm not saying throw $100 at your kid each time, but you know what I mean, a little happy.
Just a little encouragement.
Just a carrot on the end of a stick.
Yeah. We've been telling you about Skeeter Beaters, a new company that is with Spray South and Master Cuts. Reminder, though, they do landscape work for the main part of their company with Master Cuts Lawn and Landscape. They do what they said they're going to do when they said they're going to do it, and they've got open and honest communications with their customers and employees. No job too large or small for Master Cuts. Services include landscape design, installation, landscape lighting, irrigation, maintenance, and turf. They even do holiday lighting during the holiday season if you'd like to be Clark Griswold. So give them a call, 662-607-7773. MasterCutsLawn.com is the website. And if you tell them about the podcast, and that's where you heard it, First Cut is on them.
I would like to light mine up like Clark Griswold one time.
No, thank you.
Just for sure. I'd pay someone to do it and pay someone to take it down. Just to screw with people and have some fun, I would
just
love to.
Just
1 year to just be the obnoxious Clark Griswold neighbor. Anyway, podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work, it's second to none. Comer's an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, you get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8000. 8749. The podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South Tailgating, owned and operated by husband and wife duo Kyle and Jordan Thornton. 7 South is equipped with the largest staff in the Grove that can service most any of your tailgating needs. They offer SEC only, full season packages, rental packages, or they'll set up your gear and completely get you all hooked up. They offer complete setup, game day concierge, post-game trash removal, equipment breakdown, year-round storage, and more. They can set you up in the Grove, the Circle, or on the outskirts of campus. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. They typically sell out for every game, so call today, 662-321-1682, 7SouthTailgating.com. The podcast also brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chasa Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. He knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch. This time of the year, it's snapper and cobia that are the most popular trips to take. The snapper season in Mississippi waters runs through Labor Day. Another popular trip for visitors that don't have as much time is the inshore trips for speckled trout and triple tail, which sometimes is called blackfish. You can reach John through his website, tunachasacharters.com. That's tuna, C-H-A-S-A, charters.com. His Facebook page, or you can call John, 228-348-7817.
Just a quick aside here. Somebody sent this to me on Twitter. I had not seen it before this. Chad Holbrook was not hired at the College of Charleston at this point because 57 former players all signed a letter to the administration with specific criticism of Holbrook's time at South Carolina, discussing how he couldn't win at the highest levels with the recruiting budget and tradition. There was no reason to think he could win at the mid-major level at Charleston, and backing in full support the hiring of Scott Foxhall, who is the NC State pitching coach. He was at Auburn for a while, and he played and coached at College of Charleston.
I mean, they have a point.
What do you do if you're the AD, though?
I don't know. Is he your guy?
Well, he wasn't your guy before they wrote the letter. And you obviously knew about him. He's a former player who's coaching in your area.
He wasn't the guy before they wrote the letter?
Well, no, because they were hiring Holbrook.
Yeah.
So they'd already offered Holbrook the job.
So I'm saying, if I'm the AD and I offered Holbrook, I'm sticking with Holbrook. That's my guy.
Just tell the players, look, guys. Yeah.
I'm hiring my guy. Do you believe in yourself and the decision you
when
make?
When Foxhall fails, it's going to be on the AD. It's not going to be on the former players.
Of course not. Do you believe in your decisions as the AD? If you do, if you believe in your ability to make the right hire, then you hire the guy that you believe is the right hire. And if it doesn't work out, well, it's your ass.
Yeah. So that's what we got. Big long
Or you can go 3 years and then he fails and you go, well, see, here's the 57 names.
Yeah.
No one's buying
your name.
That. Your name. You did it.
Got any thoughts on the OJ parole hearing?
Oh, I wish he'd been convicted in 98 for the crime that he committed. I don't find him to be a sympathetic figure. I'm bewildered by the people who do. That being said, I would hate to be on that parole board in Nevada today. Because those people are charged with judging him based on
crime
this
he
crime.
Actually committed, yeah, or that he was actually convicted
in criminal court.
Yeah.
And not taking into consideration the other. And so if they do their jobs, then he probably gets paroled based on Nevada law.
Yeah.
Which means that they will be viewed as insensitive to the Brown and Goldman families. And if they
go the other way,
then they didn't do their jobs.
Yeah.
So I hate it for them. I really do. I very rarely kind of hate it for people, but I hate it for them because they're in an impossible spot.
Who would be the modern day OJ if that came up today?
Wow. Oh, that's a good question because Carson and I were having a conversation about who would be the modern day John Wilkes Booth. Who's the actor that would be the modern John Wilkes Booth?
Okay.
Because I was trying to tell him that, hey, this is not just history. Here's what happened. You know, I mean, it's what it was. And I was trying to kind of bring it to life, which we don't do in our classrooms today. Now we just, it's very methodical. It's very black and white. Who would be the modern O.J. Simpson?
Curating off the chart.
Yeah.
Very public.
Yeah.
Great career.
Had a great career. A storied career. And was in movies.
I mean, I know the first two names that come to mind.
Who?
Peyton Manning and Brett Favre.
Oh, yeah. Trying to think like former NBA or MLB guys that stick out. Like a former NBA. Oh, I'll give you one. Charles Barkley.
Yeah, that's a good one. Very similar.
It would be like Brett Favre or Charles Barkley committing a double murder. Can you imagine? It's when I tell my kids about Simpson and how the world stopped. They can't possibly relate to it. They're like, oh yeah, Dad, sounds like interesting. Yeah, sure. It'd be like Brett Favre or Charles Barkley. It's really good. I'm sure there's somebody else we're not thinking of.
Those are good ones, though.
But high profile, former players who transcended the sport.
Probably got to be American.
Yeah, you gotta be American. Barkley, Magic Johnson. OJ was a big damn deal.
Yeah. All the way through.
He was at one point the face of the NFL. He was a successful broadcaster and was popular in movies, like in that Naked Gun movie and stuff. I mean, he was
in all kind of commercials, the car rental commercial and all
Hurts,
that.
Man. I mean, you watched OJ run through the airport. Run through the airport.
Yeah.
I mean, OJ was cool. OJ Simpson was a big damn deal.
And had kept his curating.
Yeah.
It's mid-90s.
Hell, his curating might have gone up after his career.
Dang. Just a thought, anyway. Speaking of...
The midget question.
Evil hadn't got to that, I don't think. Who's more evil, Francis or Claire?
Ooh.
I think spoiler rules still in effect.
Okay.
I will say this generally about the show. It's gone too far for me. And I'm watching, but I don't really even understand why I am. The characters are no longer relatable or sympathetic in any way.
They went past realism.
Yeah. Early on, you were able to kind of still feel a little bit of the anti-hero going on, and that's gone. It's over. I have no interest.
I think he's more evil than she is, but she's working at it.
Hey, it's him, though.
Her sense of morality has faded. She's gotten lost in herself. Lost in what's going on in their lives. To the point where they've lost their ability to lost any self-discipline at all. But I'm like you. I did not enjoy this season as much as I had hoped to.
I really liked kind of spinning off that. I really liked The Man in the High Castle. A good bit. I don't think you watched that.
I haven't.
It's basically if the other side had won World War II.
I would like to see that.
Kind of plays through that.
Yeah.
Announced yesterday or the day before, get your thoughts on this. She said this, the Game of Thrones showrunners coming out with a new show in an alternate universe, very similar to Man in High Castle, where what if the South had won the Civil War?
Oh, wow.
And
I did not see that.
It's catching a lot of grief, as you would expect, early on. Yeah. Can it be a success, is my question to you.
Yeah, if it's well done.
Even with all the stuff?
They have to ignore the stuff. It's a movie. It's a show.
Yeah.
It's not real. I'm going to go see Planet of the Apes in the next day or so with Carson. Is that real? Am I allowed to just go see a movie? Can I just watch a show? People are into Game of Thrones. Newsflash, it's not real. You can still enjoy it. I hate that argument. I hate that. Well, we shouldn't even entertain the possibility. Well, I mean, Civil War ended in 1865. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
So we're a good century and a half past it. I think it's okay to do hypotheticals. No one's saying the South, it would. No one is saying it would have been better if. We're allowed to entertain the what if the Americans had lost the American Revolution? What would have happened? That's okay.
Care a lot more about Wimbledon today.
Yeah.
Have much worse food.
George Washington wouldn't be the great hero that he is.
Wouldn't be on the currency.
No.
Or do they have another revolution 40 years later and it just looks different?
I don't know. That'd be fascinating.
1818 suddenly is the...
I watched
Independence Day.
I read and watched 11/22/63. What happens if John Kennedy's not killed?
Yeah.
How does history change? We do this in sports all the time. Why can't we do it in history? What if he makes the kick? What if, you know, what happens if?
Well, we play the Nick Saban thing all the way down to Houston Nutt wins two SEC West titles.
Yeah.
Because Nick Saban wins with the Dolphins because of Drew Brees.
Yeah, and the Saints don't win, and the Saints probably aren't in New Orleans today.
It's the San Antonio Saints today.
Yeah.
New Orleans, is even as a city, isn't as repaired from Katrina because of the Saints being gone.
No.
Nick Saban wins in Miami because of Brees, because he would have.
Yes.
And Houston Nutt wins the SEC West in 08 and 09, potentially.
Yeah.
For sure in 09.
For sure.
So when he wins the West in 09, does he still get fired in 11?
No.
You know, what happens?
He's still the coach.
Maybe not today, but.
I don't know. Or a Nutt disciple's the coach today.
Houston Nutt get Robert Condici? Denzel's on the roster.
Yeah.
But Denzel is
absolutely.
Incredibly. But does Denzel transfer?
Well, Denzel probably leaves.
Yeah,
so
Denzel was so
Denzel was
fed
out.
Up with everybody after that year
he was
in
out.
10.
He was out.
Or 11.
Yeah, we have to really get back into the nuts and bolts of it all. But
yeah.
But yeah. The whole what if Bartman doesn't touch the ball? Well, if Bartman doesn't touch the ball, Alou catches it. The Cubs probably win the game. They go to the World Series. Do they win the World Series? If they win the World Series, does Theo Epstein ever end up in Chicago? You go on and on and on and on and on with what stuff means. Why can't you do that in history? It's interesting. It's does it change the history? Discussing what happens if the South had won the Civil War doesn't mean the South won the Civil War. If the South wins the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln is viewed completely differently in history today. So I think it'd be fascinating. From an entertainment and educational standpoint, yeah.
They clearly know what they are doing with the TV show. Game of Thrones is quite popular.
Quite a bit. I've not watched it, but yeah.
Yeah, not my thing. I tried early and couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I've not tried.
I don't feel like that hurts my humanity.
No, I'm planning to give it a shot at some point, but I'm just not there yet.
Yeah, it's not my. It's just. I feel judged when I say that. But
I like silly. Like, I love Arrested Development. I'm into Veep right now and catch myself laughing out. I tried it on the treadmill yesterday. I was laughing too hard. I had to stop.
You really did like Veep?
I'm in, like, episode 7, and I'm laughing
okay.
Uncontrollably.
It's funny.
It's great.
Yeah. Anything else stick out on here as we move forward?
Russell trolling us with recruiting questions.
Yes. What I like most about recruiting is I don't have to do it anymore.
Yep, I'm with you. Realistic expectation for the 2017-18 basketball and baseball seasons. Well, realistic expectation for basketball is they make the tournament and are a contender to reach the second weekend. That's realistic. I think if they don't make the tournament, it's a disappointment. Where I don't agree with people is, well, they have to make the tournament as a blank seed. Stop.
Quit moving the bar.
Yeah, stop. If you're in the tournament, it doesn't matter on the first game whether you're wearing a white jersey or a red jersey. Stop it.
With baseball, the disappointment would be being a 2 or 3 seed that's a non-factor and doesn't have a chance to advance. An utter disaster would be missing the tournament.
What's a reasonable expectation? To be a 1 seed?
To be a 1 seed, or if you miss it, you're just right there and you're still – you're the team that they go, ah, hell.
So a reasonable expectation for baseball is that on that – the weekend of the SEC
baseball tournament.
You're
paying attention on Sunday night when they announce the host sites.
When they head to Hoover, they're in the conversation to host.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Where the worst thing they can be is the 2 seed that nobody wants. Top 2 seed. Basically, they got to be a top 20 team next year.
Questions asked. Hypothetical, a 2-year hypothetically, a 2-year bowl ban and a show calls for Freeze. Freeze is gone. Gun to head, who's the coach for the Rebels in 2018? Charlie Strong?
In 18?
Yeah.
Good a guess as any.
Mario Cristobal.
Oh, really?
You thought?
Okay. It would kind of depend on how it happens and when. I would need more information.
Yeah.
But sure.
Mike Bobo.
Mike Shula.
Names that come to mind. I don't know that Mike Shula would do it.
Really?
Yeah.
He's had a really successful NFL career after.
Yeah, I think he's happy there.
It's fair. Just throwing it out there. Podcast brought to you in part by Right Way Meds, located in Holly Springs. They deliver your medicine to your door, so check them out online at rightwaymeds.com to find out all the ways they can help you out by saving you that trip to the pharmacy, managing your medication because it comes in strip packets where the doses are already laid out and make it easy for you. You can even save lives. And also, if you're a doctor or medical provider, they help with compliance numbers. So again, check them out online, rightwaymeds.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a small business owner, you know Visa's rules recently changed, allowing owners to pass credit card processing costs on to their customer as a line item along with sales tax. Journey Business Solutions has a fully integrated solution to make that simple for business owners. You just swipe the card just like you do today, and you pay zero for credit card processing. Journey Business Solutions also has the latest and greatest technology, Apple Pay, EMV chip processing, next day funding, and more. If you're ready for something more than the terminal, Ben Brown and team has a tablet point of sale system that does inventory, marketing, loyalty rewards, employee scheduling, and time cards. It makes your life easier. Now, it normally costs $1,200, but if you let Ben know you heard about this on the podcast, you get it at no cost and still save monthly versus what you were paying to process today. Journey Business Solutions can do business nationwide. They often work with merchants previously declined and can get you out of your contract. Send Ben an email, benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. The process is easy. He will get back with you right away to help you get started. The podcast is also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have 3 attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or Oxford, 662-281-8800.
It's okay.
Who was behind exemplary cooperation strategy, in our opinion? Lee Tyner, Dan Jones.
No arguments.
I think if you want to do the SEC failed Ole Miss strategy thing, okay, here's where I think you can do it. I think the SEC supported that initially. In fairness now to Greg Sankey, I don't believe for 1 minute that he knew that draft night was happening, and I don't think he knew that the NCAA continued. I don't think that he knew this was going to go where it went. It doesn't look good on – if Ole Miss gets hammered, it doesn't look good to Greg Sankey.
Well, no, of course not.
So
it was not a preferred decision for him.
I don't think it's the decision that he would have made, frankly. And when people say, well, Alabama, Georgia, Florida would get protected, Alabama, Georgia, Florida would never have taken that route, period.
Not just true.
Will Deontay Anderson contribute this fall? He better. Is an above-ground pool better than no pool if you live in the country with no neighbors or restrictions?
Yeah. Well, better than no pool.
Yeah.
Float around an above-ground pool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not judging. Who would win in a cage match between Yancey and Rose Bowl?
Rose Bowl, right? Just bigger.
Is he bigger than Yancey?
Yeah, I think so.
It'd be a boring fight.
Think so?
Yeah.
You can jump in. We'll make it a three-way.
I'm not interested.
Sure.
I don't have the passion for it. Okay. I'd be unmotivated as a fighter. I think if you're going to fight, you have to be like really fired up about it.
Yeah, being timid in a fight is not usually going to be a good result.
Or just being sort of nonchalant would not be a good fight. Like on days in kickboxing where I'm kind of pissed off and really fired up. And
feel better about it those
beating
days.
Beating the hell out of the bag. I get a better workout than on the days when I'm kind of tired. And I'm just like hitting the bag.
Yeah, I mean, you're either like, you're either Russia Rocky or you're Rocky when Adrian's in the coma in Rocky II.
Right.
Where he's just kind of jabbing at it.
Yeah.
Not real interested.
Right. And then when she says, do something for me, just win.
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 I mean, all of a sudden, man, cue the music.
We are going.
Look out, Mr. Rooster, because here I come. I'm Rocky Balboa, and I'm about to be the champion of the world, and I'm going to scream Adrian. Because he's doing it for Adrian. Rocky loved him some Adrian. We should all be loved the way that Adrian was loved by Rocky.
Even later on, he puts his got his chair. He puts up in the tree.
Yeah, even when
brings it down by the stone.
Even when the woman hits on him at the restaurant and stuff.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he does things for her and stuff, but I don't think he ever does those things for her.
No.
Just don't think he's motivated. I think he views it as that would be unfaithful to Adrian.
Adrian.
Even though I think Adrian would want him to love again.
Yeah. We hadn't seen Talia Shire and much else, have we?
No.
I don't think so.
No. She's probably wishing.
I bet she gets some good residual checks, though.
She's probably wishing right now, is there any way we can rewrite this where I come back from the dead? Maybe the ghost of Adrian gets to play a role in the next movie.
That's what they do with horror films like Jason Voorhees. They had like one in space at one point with Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Somewhere Talia Shore's got to go. Where did I agree to get killed off?
All right. She's 71 years old. Let's see. Talia Shire. She is known for her work in The Godfather and Rocky. Pretty good thing to be known for there. Not bad.
Not bad. Two big residual checks, I'm thinking.
She was married from, she's married twice.
Yeah.
Most recently from 80 to 94 when her husband died. So, yeah.
Someone on the board.
I mean, she's obviously, she's from the famous Coppola family. You know, Francis Ford Coppola's a brother.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So she's okay.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would make Nick Cage her nephew.
Oh, wow, I did not know any of these things.
Think so?
Damn, Rocky Balboa, he's something else. Someone on the board said multi-year bowl ban is not required to be consecutive. Could you address this, true or not? Would it benefit the program to spread it out? I don't know if it's true. I'm not going to argue that. I've never heard of it. Would it benefit the program to spread it out? No. It would benefit.
You want it? You want normalcy as fast as possible.
You want to serve your sentence and get done.
Purdue just hired Greg Goff, the guy that got fired at Alabama as a baseball coach. One that pissed off all the players and the alumni and the
Purdue hired him as the head coach?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Laying those feet pretty quick.
They play at Alabama in 2019.
That'd be fun. Might go over for that.
Yeah.
I'm not getting into your favorite Bible verse to use on the haters. I'm just not going there. I understand where you're coming from, Jedi. I do. I get what you're saying here. He says, I, for one, am blanking sick of the NCAA mess, so unless you have some new factual news, you can go ahead and move past it. I know. Let's talk football, projected starters, things to look for. I'm going to be honest here. The people that want that and nothing but that are going to be incredibly disappointed this season. Do you agree, Chase? You can't ignore this story. This story is bigger than the football season. This story will impact more than anything who is here next year. Who's the AD? Who's the head coach? Who is the chancellor? Who is on the staff? Where the program goes from here, far more than how the offense looks, how the defense looks. It's reality. Who the players are, who your quarterback is, who maybe your left tackle is, who some of your receivers are. I'm not trying to be cryptic. I'm just keeping it as real as I can. The people that want the media to ignore this story and just focus on the football, you're asking the media to not do its job.
Yeah, fair.
Can we talk about Jimmy John's skirting questions yesterday? I thought the interview stood for itself. You could read into that. Well, many of you did. Sources about whether Leo Lewis has been requested, ordered to appear at a COI hearing. I've not heard that he's been requested or ordered to appear at a hearing. Have you?
I've heard a lot of stuff. I don't have anything concrete there. Okay. So we'll table that.
I'm not going to get into the I'm on record about how Ole Miss handled the first NOA and the release of the first NOA. I thought they made a lot of mistakes. There was a lot of misinformation. That's about it.
Okay. Appreciate the questions. Yeah. We still have another podcast tomorrow. We will try to find some topics that are not asking you to provide questions, a couple things that we'll work on, maybe even pick up with what I thought was going to be on today's show. So we'll see where that comes through for tomorrow. Guest on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline, hopefully, as well. So appreciate the questions. We will talk to you on Friday.